Hey, it's Alan Berg. Are you coming to Wedding MBA this year? Well, I'll be there again. I haven't missed one since the first one in 2007. So I look forward to seeing you there. And if you want to save $20 off the current ticket price, and they get higher as you get closer, go to WeddingMBA.com. Use the promo code Alan, A-L-A-N. WeddingMBA.com, promo code Alan. Save $20. I look forward to seeing you there. Before we get into this episode, I'm starting something called Ask Me Anything. That's right. You submit your questions and they could become an entire episode or something that I answer at the end of an episode. To submit your questions, look for the red button at podcast.alanberg.com. That's right. podcast.alanberg.com. Click on the red button, submit your question, and maybe you'll hear it here on the podcast. Thanks. What do you do when two couples or customers ask about the same date? Ooh. Listen to this episode. Find out. Welcome to another episode of the Wedding Business Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Alan Berg. I'm a speaker, author, sales trainer, website reviewer, and I help businesses like yours sell more, profit more, and have more fun doing it. Enjoy this episode. Hi, it's Alan Berg. Welcome back to another episode of the Wedding Business Solutions Podcast. This is a listener suggestion by Ewan in the UK, who said he had this scenario where two inquiries come for the same date. The first one's asking about a date. They want to meet and chat about it. And then somebody else asks about the same date during that same time frame. So you haven't booked the first client yet, and you have an inquiry from the second client. You've told the first client you're available. Now the second one comes along. You're available. You're not available. What do you do with that? And I think we've all run into that. It's what we call a good problem. The good problem when two customers want you on the same date. I can remember one time I was booked for speaking, and I got three more inquiries for the exact same date, and nobody could move. I think one of them was able to move it. The other ones already had their events planned. Well, just like you guys, I can't be in more than one place at a time. And if you're a multi-op or you can do multiple weddings on a day, you get to a point where your calendar is full. If you haven't listened to the episode where I talk about your A dates and B dates and C dates, right, the ones that you know you're going to book, this is one of those things that usually happens on an A date or an A plus date where it's a popular date. You get an inquiry and then somebody else inquires as well. Now, sometimes you're already booked, and this is why you want to watch that calendar inventory and not give it away for lower priced, you know, packages and services on one of the most popular dates, because if you know you'll get more inquiries, chances are you'll get inquiries for a higher priced wedding or a higher priced event on that same date. Like if somebody's asking about, you know, a birthday party on a Saturday night in October, and that's your A plus dates, right? Well, they have to meet a certain minimum revenue. Otherwise, you're losing money by doing a small event on a night when you could book a big wedding, right? So what do you do in a case like this, right? Well, there's what we call the ethical thing to do, right? If you have an inquiry from somebody and they want to think about it, and you say, that's fine. My personal thing is I don't hold dates. I don't think you should hold dates without a deposit, because just somebody thinking about it, there's no commitment on their part. And you say, listen, these prices are good for the next 72 hours, but I don't hold dates. If I get another inquiry, I will tell you. And in this case, Ewan got an inquiry like that. And I think he should go tell the second couple, listen, right now I'm available. I do have another couple that I spoke to the other day. Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it was last night. Maybe it was this morning. I spoke to somebody else. And I said, I don't hold dates, but I did give them a proposal. So if you want me to do your wedding, great. I would just have to reach out to them, give them first right of refusal, because I did say, right, if I get another inquiry, I'll let you know. Now, if you didn't say that, you're really free to book anybody you want. The question is, what does the first couple or first customer say when they come back and say, okay, we want to do it. And you say, now I'm not available, and you didn't give them the heads up. And I actually just had something similar happen to me. I had somebody come to me and I was available on a date. We booked it. And now they came and said, we need to move the date. I said, okay. But the date they want to move it to is a date that somebody else had said, we're thinking about doing this event on this date. So I reached out to the first one and said, what are we doing, right? Are we moving forward with this or not? Because I can't tell the other company I can move to that date unless you tell me we're not doing it there. Because if you tell me we're doing it, that's fine, but otherwise I'll tell them I'm available and then I'm not available for you, or you'll have to move the date. So it's the same thing for you, except you probably can't, people can't move the date for you like they can for me for a sales training and sometimes for a speaking. So I think the right thing to do is you reach out to the first customer and say, I need a decision because somebody else wants to book me for that date, but I told them I spoke to you first. I gave you first right of refusal, but I need to know, and I need to know by a reasonable amount of time, which would be, you know, end the business day or whatever, because somebody else wants to give you money. That's what they want to do. The thing that I always run into, that I'm sure a lot of you run into, is you don't want it to sound like you're just saying that and you don't actually have somebody else, you know, on the line for that. And that's how I always feel funny with that, is I don't say that unless it's true. And when I do, I don't want people to think, oh, you're just saying that. Like nobody else, you don't really have somebody else there. I only say it when it's true. Otherwise, I'll book you for that other date. And when I tell somebody as of today, I'm available, that's what I mean. As of today, I'm available. That could change later today. That could change tomorrow. That could change next week. In the case of this one, you know, I was booked for this customer in August and now they want to move to July. I'm like, well, which of these dates they're asking me I'm available? I said, I might be available on this date. I might not. Let me go back and find out. And I went back to the other customer. If I don't hear back within, again, reasonable amount of time, don't, you know, don't send it to them at midnight. You didn't hear about back by 9 in the morning, but a reasonable amount of time, you know, if you don't hear back, then go ahead and book the person that is ready to give you money. Because again, I don't think you should hold dates without money because there's no commitment on their part. Some of my clients do a refundable deposit to hold the date for 3 days or something. Those of you holding dates for a week and more, it's too long. There's no sense of urgency for them to make a decision there. I think it should be shorter. A lot of states have a 72-hour rule, but that's after the contract is signed. So within 72 hours, somebody could back out. I don't know if that's universal around the world and everywhere, but in a lot of places, when you sign a contract, that's what the local law is, that you have 72 hours and you could cancel and get your money back. So from the ethical standpoint, if you spoke to somebody, told them you're available, I think it's ethical to go back and say, listen, I have somebody else interested. If you want to do it, we do it. Let's do it now. And I'll tell them I'm not available. If you don't go back to them and then they come back and want to do it, I think you're going to have somebody that's ticked off that you didn't at least give them a heads up. And if you're doing it like I am, only when it's actually true and somebody comes back and thinks you're just saying that, well, you know that the truth is you're not, right? The truth is that you do have somebody on the line there. And I think, you know, your conscience can be clear that, no, I only say that when it's true. That's true in this particular case. And if obviously, in most cases, they're not going to be able to move the date for you. Some of you, they will. With the venue, they might be able to, you know, move the date for you. They'll say, okay, what else do you have? I'll take a different date. But for a lot of you, you know, who are further down the line after the date is booked, you're available or you're not. And I don't think you need to lock up your inventory for someone that has not given you a commitment. And that commitment to me is even more the money than the contract. Yes, you want the contract signed, but I think the money is more important. That's a bigger commitment there. So Ewan, thank you for that suggestion. Keep the suggestions coming, everyone. And I hope this gave you a little something to think about. Thanks. Hi, it's Alan Berg. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Wedding Business Solutions Podcast. You can find full transcripts on my website at podcast.alanberg.com. And if you have a suggestion for a topic for a new episode or even a guest, please let me know at alan@weddingbusinesssolutions.com. And if you'd like to find out about having me come and speak to your association or a conference, or do sales training in person or remotely for your team, whether you're a team of one or a team of 100, please let me know again, alan@weddingbusinesssolutions.com. Thanks for listening.